Hi everyone, welcome to New Spontaneous Conversations, episode 16 already. It's been a while since you have seen me doing a live, and today we have a wonderful guest, Michal Medina, not related to Todd Medina, in case that's popping up, so that is answered already. And yes, we're laughing because, yeah, things, I didn't even know how to start, so... It's going to be one of those days where we're just having fun and having a good conversation about whatever's going to come up, because I honestly don't know what. So for those who don't know me, I'm Lot Fimrat. I do help people break through the blockages, reaching their full potential, discovering what their life mission is, or even better, stepping into that. Gradually, it's not like, oh, okay, now I'm doing it. Help people with grounding, to be really in the body, to be in the here and now, and also getting through all these crazy times. So that is me. In short, if you want to know more, just click the link in the description, see on my website, and you see a whole list of stuff. More important today is the conversation with our guest. So, Michal, please introduce yourself. Tell us what it is you do, where you're from, some background, like why you made a move across the globe and how you came to do what you're doing. So there's a lot of questions in one, just.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Lotfi, and thank you everyone for tuning in. My name is Michal J. Medina. I'm an intuitive, spiritual, and mindset coach, and I specifically help highly conscious people who are into personal growth and spiritual expansion and want to step fully into their soul mission and serving others. And I really help them to shift those inner blocks, just the patterns that are coming up to surface to shift. And I do that by helping them to move from their head into the heart. And it's through the heart center that all the big shifts happen. And it's through living from your heart center that you start to attract opportunities and doors open for you and the right connections come into your life to move you forward into your vision and mission. So that's kind of the work that I do. And yeah, I'm originally from Texas. I moved to Israel 4.5 years ago. And that was kind of my it was part of my quarter life crisis healing process. And that's how I got into all this healing and personal growth stuff in the first place, which was through my own healing journey, dealing with anxiety and depression. So eventually that led into me starting this work with others. And it's really evolved since I started in 2019. So yeah, that's kind of the summary.
That is beautiful, because we have spoken a few times and I can see nothing from anything you described that you have worked on. I mean, it's just gone. I don't see the anxiety or anything like that. So Clearly you did a good job. So people go to her because she knows what she's talking about. She did it. And that is one of the most important things, I think, to lead by example. Mm-hmm. Have walked the path yourself, then you know which steps need to be taken, or at least which direction to go, because everyone has his own way of walking the path and even choosing his own path. But if you resonate with someone and that person knows at least what you're talking about, it becomes easier. You don't need to explain everything. You can just let it flow, just go in there, and then the coach that you're working with is guiding you. That goes intuitively, more spontaneous. It doesn't go from here, like she said,
right? The heart. Yeah. And honestly, like, one thing I'll add is there is no way I could have ever gotten, or maybe at some point, but there's no way I could have gotten to where I am like this quickly in such a short amount of time if it weren't for having mentors guiding me. Because otherwise it's like you're just kind of in your own world, right? In your mind, in your same perception. And if you don't have someone who can help you see out of your current perception and can guide you out of that, and then it makes it a whole lot, not harder, well, harder, but it also takes a lot more time to come to these inner shifts and inner realizations without having someone to guide you. So Yeah, I strongly recommend, anyone who's doing the inner work to, seek out someone to help you make those shifts a lot faster, because it ultimately helps you to not get in your own way in the inner healing process. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally resonate with this because when I had a big breakthrough in 2012, I saw the difference between those who did have a coach or a mentor. I did have a mentor at that moment, and those who didn't. In total, I attended two workshops. One I did myself, and then the next one I assisted the guy, and there was like, I think 45 people in total who did have a breakthrough and a big one. And I believe 35 to 40 actually went back to the old because they did not have someone who could answer some basic questions. Because what is a breakthrough? Breakthrough is you break through that wall that was in front of you for years, maybe decades, and then you're on the other side, and then this is cool. It's a different world. I mean, and if there's no navigation and all, and it's a new language, and I mean, like, just I take you and I just drop you in China. I mean, you don't speak Chinese, you cannot read it. What do you do? And I was so lucky I had this guy, and that's when I really started to realize how important it is to have a mentor, because I would just call him up and like, okay, I know what I want, but I have no clue how to do this, or I'm getting stuck here. What should I do? And then he would remind me to go back inwards, or remind me of what I had learned before. And it's not per se giving me a lot of new information, but sometimes just reminding me or helping me to pull out, to have a helicopter view, to see the bigger picture. Then, okay, now I'm connecting the dots, because often it's about the dots, because we have a lot of information in us that we gather from the outside, but also what we are born with. But connecting them, that's something we need to learn. How do you learn? By doing. But it's very difficult to do everything by yourself. And I've seen that all very successful people, like the big ones, the big names, they all have at least one mentor and at least one coach at any time. And sometimes they have two mentors because one is mentoring them on one in one area and one in the other area. And that's very possible. And of course, you may say, I cannot afford it to pay two mentors, each one of them $1,000 a month. But a mentor can also be a really good friend with whom you have this, how do you say this in Dutch, soundboarding with each other. And I have three of them, and we regularly soundboard. And then the one is listening, and then the other is sharing, and then we change, or the next time we do that. And that helps to get that perspective. And if it's somebody from the other gender, it gives you from the other gender the perspective, which can also be very valuable when we talk about relationship issues, or even just how is it for a man or how is it for a woman. That question often comes up from one of us, like, okay, please show me how is it from the other side, because I really don't get it. Or do you experience also these things? So I'm really happy you said this, because most people forget about this. They go and then they have this webinar or whatever thing, and they get all the insights. And then what? How about I say that in practicality? Because my life today has all these boxes I need to fill, and yeah, it's needed. And I, for example, have the benefit of having been in the corporate world. So when people who are still in the corporate world come to me, I understand what they're talking about. And I show them how I dealt at a certain moment when I became more conscious with the crap in the corporate world and craziness and the blind managers or things like that, but also how I made the transition slowly towards part-time, making certain choices. And it's all about choices at the end. I know I cannot. No, you choose or you choose not to. So yeah, that's important. So I always recommend people to find somebody who has the right experience for them. So if you're watching this, feel who you resonate with and who can help you best. As long as you do that, I'm happy for you. You don't have to talk to me, but do something, work on it, because we do it for everyone, not just for ourselves.
Right.
If I would have worked on myself, you would have worked on yourself, we wouldn't be sitting here today talking and having
fun. That's so true. It's a ripple effect, you know? Yeah.
So what was your background before this, before 2019?
Yeah. So I graduated college with a degree in electrical engineering, and I worked in that in like a big multinational corporation. So I have a corporate background too. So I did that, and it was like 2 years as an electrical engineer, and then I moved into technical project management. So I knew that I liked handling a lot of different things and communicating with people and working with people. So I thought like, okay, technical project management, you know, that really checks off all the boxes of the things I like to do. So I thought that, you know, that was going to be my career. And I moved into that, and it really wasn't fulfilling like I thought it would be. It was just a lot to handle, a lot of burden. If anything went wrong with the project, it was my fault, and I was working a lot. Yeah. And so, I mean, that was fine. Like, I think I honestly could have kept that up for a while, but around like a little less than a year or just a few months into my new role as a project manager, that's when I got hit with sudden anxiety. And it really had to do with like an experience with a group of friends. And for the first time, I felt like betrayed and abandoned by people who I thought cared about me. And it was that kind of just turned my world upside down. Like all of the confidence I had in myself and all of the being able to be comfortable with people. Like it was like all of a sudden I just became like so afraid of being myself. And I basically would just have social anxiety with pretty much anyone that I would interact with. So that just led to me not wanting to even leave my house, because I was like, who am I going to run into? And it really just, it felt like I went from like thriving to being in like a prison in my own life. And that's really what led to like just depression and feeling like I was hopeless to change my situation. And I didn't know how to control the anxiety. Like this was my first time in my life dealing with like mental things. So I was like, you know, if you have no experience dealing with mental things, you think, oh, I'm just going to try to control it and it doesn't work. And then you're like, I'm helpless. I don't know how to change this. I'm miserable. Yeah. So that's really how things were for me for like 6 months. And then, I had a conversation with my sister, and my sister, she had been dealing with mental health things for her pretty much most of her life. So this was like new for me at the time, but she was pretty experienced, and she went the traditional route with like therapy and medication and stuff. So she was telling me about medication. And so I was like, okay. And like, I had this little bit of hope. I was like, oh my gosh, there's some way out of this. So then I went to the doctor and I was like, prescribe me some medicine and send me to therapy.
Was it a blue or a red pill that you chose?
I don't know. It was white. So then I was like, yes, like send me to therapy, like prescribe me some medication. And so then I like, that's when I got out of my depression, because my depression was like me feeling like I was hopeless to change my situation. But when I realized that there was something I could do about it, then I was like, okay, I'm determined to figure it out, get to the bottom of this. And so then I started to explore, and therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, like the therapist, I just went to like 3 sessions with her, but she was pretty much teaching me like when the anxiety came up, how to like manage it so it doesn't become overwhelming. But then I was like, you know what? Like, that's just not, I'm not going to settle for that, because I don't want to live my whole life managing this anxiety. I was like, there was a point in my life where I had no anxiety, and now I do. And I was going to figure out a way to get back to where it's not there anymore. Like, I don't have to keep struggling.
She was only dealing with the symptoms, not with the source.
Yeah, just the symptoms. Yeah. So I was like, that's just not going to cut it for me. So basically, it set me on this like search for a solution. And I went from like healing modalities to different healing modalities, like, and I dropped the medication because it was just making things worse. So I stayed on it for like less than a month, and I was like, this is making everything worse in my mind. So I was like, I'm not going to rely on that. But yeah, I went to trauma therapy next, and that was talking about the experience that happened, But then I was like, I feel like there's something more out there, that something that's going to be more effective than just talking about it. Because I was talking about it, and I was like, this isn't coming to a resolution within myself.
No, so then surface.
Yes.
I mean, one was only like, okay, if the symptom, how to get rid of the symptom. The other was like, oh, here is the situation. Let's keep making rounds instead of where you're coming from. I mean, I don't understand why the whole system. Okay, I understand the whole system is built on how to generate the most money. It's just to keep people on the treadmill. Just keep them rolling.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you really solve the problem at the core, then there's no money to make after that. I mean, they don't realize that actually the economy would thrive, but not for them. So that's why, I prefer to have somebody who actually tells me, okay, I will not give you medication. Change your lifestyle. Do this or that or whatever, or go have a talk with that person that you're still mad at, because your stomach problems are coming from the anger against somebody.
Right.
Go talk to that somebody, whatever it is, but do something to resolve at the core.
Yeah, resolve. Yes, that's exactly it. That was like my, and I think your intention is like, for everyone out there, your intention is like your North Star. It's like guiding what you, the choices you make and everything and how things play out in your life. And my intention was to get to a point where this is like totally resolved. So that ultimately led me to where I am now, where it's resolved. But it was like, I didn't just settle for dealing with symptoms for the rest of my life. And if I would have, I would still be dealing with symptoms right now. Should I continue with my journey and
please share. Okay. I mean, I have a small question before you continue with the journey. Is there something from a time in the corporate world that is helping you today in what you do like, did you take something from that you can say, yeah, I'm happy I had that experience because I can use it today in my work?
Yes, totally. I think just having the experience in exploring like the engineering side of me and thinking analytically and like, you know, finding solutions and all of that, like it was all of that exposure and training and thinking that way that ultimately like it led me to be able to apply that way of thinking to the personal healing and personal development world, because that's where I ended up reaching my breakthroughs, is when I really applied that in-depth, like connecting the dots and understanding to, like, I ended up developing my own sort of system to reaching those inner shifts. And that's what led me to be able to like fully resolve things. Because one thing I notice in the spiritual healing and personal growth world is there's a lot of like you were saying, like dealing with symptoms, right? There's a lot of people saying like, when I'm triggered, how do I go back to being positive? Or how do I stay focused on gratitude when there's all these things trying to pull me down? But then you're just like fighting an uphill battle, right? It's like, if you don't really fully resolve what keeps coming up, then it's like, it never gets resolved that way. You're not going to ignore it long enough that it goes away. Like, it's really like delving into it. And then when it comes to delving into it, that's where I applied the engineering like way of thinking to like figuring out, okay, what's a specific process that I can like guide myself through that's going to lead to like a full resolution, a full resolving. So yes, that was
very interesting, because from an engineering perspective, you start with what you have. Your starting point is, okay, this is the situation. These are the tools I have. And this is how everything is. And what a lot of people do is, I do not like this thing, and the first thing they do, pushing away the problem instead of accepting it is there. Let's say, I don't have a roof above my head. I don't have food. I hate it. Well, accept it. That is your situation. So start working from there. Accept first, this is my current situation, because how can you change something if you don't have it in front of you?
Yeah.
How can you fix anything if it's not there? So accept it's here. And then you can start to apply your techniques or whatever to start to transform.
Yes.
Very engineering. It's a very
doing it.
I mean, you cannot fix the car of your friend if he's still on the other side of town. He needs to come with the car to you, or you need to go to the car and then you work on the car itself. Maybe this is an example that will make sense for people in the end, because the spiritual community is a lot like what you were describing, like, oh no, I don't do that. Oh, I feel bad, I'm angry. Oh no, okay, anger go away now. Now I'm gonna be let it out, shout, hit the table, whatever. Once in a workshop, I had a guy punch the wall, just put that fist in the wall, and there was a big dent in the wall. It was a concrete wall, but there was like he damaged, and yeah, it was a little bit bleeding, but he let out the anger. And he calmed down after that, and I saw the transformation, and then he could actually move forward. That's why I have a friend who's doing kickboxing, not because she's aggressive, no, to let out the anger or the frustration that can build up sometimes. So she found that way, because then she can punch and let it all out.
And yeah.
Then she goes for a walk in the park or in the forest with a dog, and then it's like, then she's zen, but she first lets it out.
Yeah.
And also when you feel a cry coming up, don't tell somebody, no, please don't cry. No, let the person cry. Encourage the person to let it out, let emotions out. And of course, if you want to scream and you have neighbors, okay, step in your car and go on an empty parking lot and then scream the hell out. Because otherwise your neighbors may think something is wrong. They call the police or the ambulance or whatever. You don't want that at home. So if I feel that coming up and it cannot go anywhere, I just put certain music very loud, which has certain tones like rock, and then I can literally scream it out when there's come up, and the neighbors will not notice because they just are okay.
I think you're singing. Yeah, oh, look, he's singing.
But then it's off, and then I can actually go to where was this coming from.
Yeah.
Then I go to the root source, and then the whole process starts, whatever course I'm following, but it's always coming back. But sometimes you need to take out all that steam that is, so you can actually see clearly what's down there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So continue, please, with your journey, because this was just a sidestep, but I believe a crucial one.
Yeah. Okay. So where was I in my journey?
You made the step. You started developing your own system.
Yeah,
so you started finding your
own way. The developing my own system came later. Before that, like after I tried talking about the trauma, then I went to hypnosis. Hypnosis was like he was basically just telling me in a hypnosis state that like I am confident, I am comfortable around people, you know, and like I noticed that like after the sessions I would feel more comfortable around people, but then the anxiety would just come back. So then I was like, okay, so if I really want this anxiety to not be here, then I'm gonna have to keep going to sessions my whole life. So I was like, no, I'm gonna keep searching.
Every day you take the pills because
I was like, I was like, I'm not gonna live that way. Like this needs to, no, I'm not gonna settle for that. So yeah, then I got into, that's where I started to get into alternative modalities. Like I became aware of energy healing for the first time. And then I was like, okay, wow, like what is this? Like every time I experienced energy healing, I would feel like a little lighter, a little more joyful, a little more me. So I was like, okay, like there's something to that. I didn't understand like how it was happening, but I was like, I'm definitely noticing like sensations in my body. So I was like, I need to figure out like how this works. So then I went to my first training of learning the energy healing modality. And this was so fascinating to me because like it seemed like magic. Like it was just this person standing up there and like doing this thing, and then all of a sudden these sensations would happen in my body, and I was like, whoa, like this is magic, like how is this happening? So then when I trained,
magic wand in his hand and he was there.
Yeah, I was like, what? I need to learn this. Yeah. So then I learned it, and once I learned it, I was like, oh my gosh, it's so simple. I was like, that's it. And I was like, how does doing that like produce these big results? And I realized, like, do you come from a religious background, by the way?
I've been raised with two religions.
Which ones?
Protestant Christianity and Islam.
Okay, cool. So
Islam
I was raised
Protestant at home.
Wait, sorry, what?
Islam was at school and the Protestant was at home.
Okay, so I was raised with two religions too. First was Christianity, and then later on in life, my parents started to explore their Jewish background, so I did too. So then I converted to Judaism, and then like later on, now I'm not religious at all. I'm spiritual, but not following a specific religion. But for my background in Christianity, there's like prayer and you pray for others for healing. Yeah. So I learned this energy healing modality, and it was like connecting to source energy, the creator of all that is, source of existence. And then from that connection, you just, when you're working on a client or someone, you just ask for whatever shift that needs to happen. And then the shift happens. And I was like, that's energy healing. I was like, it's basically prayer. I was like, wow, I already knew this, but I didn't realize it could produce these insane effects.
So
So
you need the person also to be open to it, the
yes, of course,
receiver,
because it can block the
because
it's ultimately the person is
it's
making those shifts.
cooperation.
Yeah, like the one being like healed or doing being the session is on them. They're the ones allowing the shifts to happen. They have to want the shifts. They have to want the healing. So, yeah, but it's like a cooperation. Like the practitioner is like connecting to source energy, and it's like that powerful intention and energy that lets the person being worked on like have those shifts because they're agreeing, like, yes, I want this
It's
shift. The
basically
other
the
person, like,
conduit. He's the conduit. He just makes the
yeah.
connection.
Yeah,
So in the end,
exactly.
it's the receiver who's doing the real work within themselves,
Right.
even if they're not fully aware of it, but by opening up and
Yeah.
also being ready for the transformation, because what will happen in
Exactly.
the moment the transformation will happen is what the person is ready for. So
Yeah.
two people with the same problem may have a completely different transformation in that moment
Right.
because they are different stages. And that's the beauty because that makes it perfectly tailored. It's not
Yeah.
like one thing that applies to everyone. No, it's unique because we are all unique. We're all on a different path. Even if all roads lead to Rome, we all take our own unique roads. And even on the same road, somebody is going like this, and the other part is going there, and then he does this. So,
Yeah.
it's
Yeah. One thing I'll also add to that is like you're saying like the person needs to be ready and they need to want it. Like that's the part I think where a lot of people get stuck, 'cause that's where I was stuck for a long time. Like I was able to shift like one thing here and one thing there, but when it came to really being able to like resolve the root of the anxiety, which like that like energy healing could only take me so far because I was still blocking myself. I still didn't, there was parts of me that was still protecting that and not really wanting it to be resolved. And so that's where people can just, they say that they want it, they want to be healed or they want to shift and resolve this thing. But like, if there's still a part of them that's blocking that or that they still feel safe having it, or there's some that then like the
yes,
energy healing will work.
more important here. Sorry to interrupt, but the safety is belong to the herd, being part of society, the community where you live, or the family. And the change would mean that you would be different and it
Yeah.
can be really scary or very dangerous to be different because people may
Right.
reject you, bully you, discriminate you, whatever. I
Yeah.
mean, maybe they won't do it, but that is what we feel because we've been raised and programmed, because there's a lot of programming. That's why I was laughing when you talked about hypnosis, because it's also some kind of programming
Yeah.
that makes us want to follow a certain path. And deviating from that is where you need a lot of inner courage to decide, no,
Yes.
I'm going to walk a different path.
Yeah.
And screw what people will say. And not just saying from here,
Right.
screw them. No, you need
Feel
to have
it.
real confidence from
Embody.
here. And that takes
Yeah.
time and
Right.
practice. You need to do
Yeah.
it. And you may fall back and then not judge yourself. I was having a conversation today with somebody and I was like, stop judging yourself because you're holding yourself back. So, yeah, we all want to go from here to a wonderful life, but we're not prepared to make the steps and let go of whatever we need to let go of. And that's
Yeah.
what you started talking about, the letting
Yeah.
go. But that's because
Yeah.
of the fears and all the programming, and we're so used, and some people prefer to suffer as long as they're comfortable because they know it. So they stay in the suffering. Like you said,
Right.
I don't know which expression you use, but you could have stayed longer in that company. You could have make it
Right.
work for a while longer, but that was not where you felt it in here. So you were technically you were suffering in a certain area, but okay, I can take the suffering because I still have that and that and that. So it's okay, but it's not the good, the real good stuff.
Right.
And, and when people realize that, then they can start to really take the steps and work with one of us, because we will not let them stay in there. We will kick them literally hard out of that bloody comfort zone, which is not comfortable at all. It's hell zone.
Right. Yeah.
So please continue on where you were, because sidesteps if I feel like, okay, here's something we need to clarify, because
for sure
has already done so much work. I hope there are actually people watching whom this is the first time and like, oh wow, because then they know what to expect, not to scare you guys off, but to know that hey, this is serious business and you can do it. You just need to keep going and not be afraid.
Yes. And along, because you're saying it's about having that inner confidence, and it's taking aligned steps representative of who you're shifting into, who you're wanting to become, right? Because if you're just like, I'm not going to take any new steps, I'm not going to change the way I do things until I feel a certain way, like part of feeling a certain way is like making the inner shifts, taking a new step, making another inner shift, taking a new step, and that's how you change your reality. Yeah. Okay, so where was I? Where did I last? Where was I in my story?
I had that yesterday in a video, and it took me 10 minutes to remember what was the second point I wanted to make. And then I just stopped the video. I was like, okay, screw it. I had a small walk, and then okay, I don't know.
I think I was talking about energy healing.
20 minutes later, and I put the clock going around, and I will be uploading. You will see it. It's funny, but it happens.
Okay, so I think I was talking about energy healing, right? Mm-hmm. So then that was kind of the start of me exploring like alternative healing modalities. And, you know, there's all sorts of different healing modalities in terms of like the energy work. So I basically started just training and exploring and getting certified in different modalities like Akashic records readings and healings and clearings and all sorts of different things, you know, EFT tapping and basically I was just exploring a lot of different modalities, mostly so I could use it on myself. Like I wasn't in the place where I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do it for others. Like I felt like I just needed to figure it out so I can just practice on myself. So I did that for a while. In the meantime, like I had already left my job and I moved to Israel. So moving to Israel was really a chance for me to get time and space to focus on my healing. And I was also going through spiritual awakening at the same time, like discovering energy healing. And I also had all these questions about like just the deeper questions about existence and who we are in this human experience and the nature of reality and how we create our own reality and how our current state impacts, you know, things in our environment. So I had questions about that weren't being answered within religion. So then I started to research like different things online, and I started to come across like channeled works, like books and teachings and videos and stuff. So I started to like kind of build my own understanding of like the nature of reality and how we create our own reality and what is this human experience, and we exist, like there's a part of us that exists outside of the physical realm. And like I was just like trying to wrap my mind around all of it. So yeah, moving to Israel gave me the chance to get away from the religious community that I lived in Texas, so I can just have the space away from people's expectations and judgments on what I'm doing with my life and whatever. And and also like leaving my job. What?
That's a big step.
Yeah.
And a very conscious step. And that's yes. Why. Can you please repeat just for the people to hear it again, why you made, I mean, how beneficial it was that you took that step to move from Texas to Israel? Can you please repeat that so people can hear it again? Because this is very important. That is that getting out of that comfort zone.
Right. So yeah. I mean, moving to Israel really gave me a chance to get away from like the religious community that I was in Texas, and getting away from people's expectations and judgments of like how I should be living my life. So it really gave me that space to just figure out myself without that in expectation being imposed on me. Yeah. Yeah. So
that's a big one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically what I did when I was 21. I left home. I literally moved to another country as well. And again, I did it in 2015 by moving again to another country, which was in line with my own development in both cases. It was me. I had to change. I had to leave certain things behind me. Different things in both cases. But the new space, the new arena is sometimes needed. And
yeah.
Who was it? Oh yeah, I think it was Richard Rudd from the Gene Keys who gave the example that when for the kids to be able to play on the dinner table or the kitchen table, first it had to be emptied.
Yeah.
Then you can start to put the things that you want to work with or play with, or if you want to cook, for example, in the kitchen, you need to have space. Needs to be empty, and then you can start to create something new. Or even if you make a drawing, you need an empty piece of paper,
right?
So to be able to start to create something,
yeah.
And that's why change is so important. I mean, like changing scenery or changing place or stepping out of the room. When people have a lot of stress and they're not used to do anything, I teach them the 3 to 5 minute meditation. Which basically can do anywhere. I just tell them, go to the toilet. Nobody will knock on the door in the first 3 minutes.
Right.
Like really assholes. But normally you have 3 minutes for yourself. Make sure it's not a smelly one. And then do the breathing. Yeah. Because that's how I started.
Right.
And then you go back to your desk and then you see everything with a fresh pair of eyes. And then, oh yeah, oh, I know exactly how to put the thing on. Now there's order suddenly. And it works. And then later you can try to practice a longer meditation and stuff like that. But 3 minutes, almost nobody says, I cannot try 3 minutes to only focus on my breath.
Right.
But for that, you need that empty space, that empty room with nobody around you.
Right.
Which you have almost anywhere there's a toilet.
Yeah, it's so great.
Everywhere an empty room or a nice garden or a big empty park.
Yeah,
I mean, that's going to be a step too far for a lot of people. But this just create that empty space, and from there you can create again.
Yeah.
Also in your mind, create that empty space. And of course, not everyone can move to another country or to another city, but sometimes it can help. That's why I, for example, I leave the house, I go to the park and have a long walk. That's how I clear my mind. That's how I get my inspiration again.
Yeah.
Because I need to get out of the space where I have been for several hours trying to figure out something and it didn't work. So I changed scenery. Mm-hmm. And on the way to the park, you'll see a lot of different things. Basically, all the input will push to the back the things I was thinking about. And then once I'm in the park, hey. And then everything I had been thinking about before is gone already because it was pushed away by a cat I met on the street, a guy walking by or a car or whatever. And then there's space. And then what I'm going to create now? Empty. So I have all the freedom and all the space to start creating a new idea.
Yes.
Or just enjoy the park, which is also creating space, but energetically, because you relax. So the tension gets out of your body, which also creates space in your body, energetic space.
Yes.
So, I really recommend everyone to do this whenever you can. And now, for example, this is one of the things I'm teaching to refugees, because I'm here in Romania. We're close to the Ukraine. I mean, we have a big Ukrainian border. We have a lot of refugees here. And through one of the jobs I'm having, we have an association where we supply food. So we prevent food food waste by taking the food that is getting close to the expiration date and distributing it to people in need. And 4 months ago, we started working with Ukrainians as well. And I got to know the people and we're talking. And certain moment, I was like, okay, do you want me to help you to work on relaxation? And so people said, yeah, they really may need that. Well, they needed it more than I thought. First time I sat with them and I started asking them to share a bit, I realized that most of them had not relaxed for 8 months straight. Because not just when the war started, because the war started long before the first tanks crossed the border. And people have been constantly in terror, in fear, even if they are here and they're safe here. They're worried about their house is still standing, their neighbors, their family, their friends, their kids, maybe their husbands, because mostly it's women with their children who came. And so I'm teaching them the very basic thing, because most of them don't have yet experience. And I thought I only wanted to work with people who already, like you say, who are already open and aware and stuff. I realized, actually, now I reach enough inner peace myself to be able to work with beginners. And it's amazing because I see people laughing again, relaxing, like really feeling relaxed. And so after the first time, and I did not know how many times it would be, they said, we want more, literally. And the first few workshops, they said, we want more of this or of that. And so I said, I'm going to do it weekly. And it's such an amazing feeling to see these people relaxing, even if it's only that one and a half hour that we're together in a week. But it's so needed. But then I also see that they start to see life slightly differently. So, and they become more open to change certain things. That help them to get less input that is stressful. Because you do not need to, you're not helping the people who stay behind by feeling shitty like them. You're helping them more by being strong so you can actually support them, even if it's only emotionally. So you need to take good care of yourself. It's like the airplane when you see the safety card about the oxygen mask. First yourself, and then you help the others. Because if you're weak and someone leans, you both drop. That's the example I always give. And in plenty of my videos, probably you're, oh, yeah, Lotfi, I've said that 1,000 times. Yeah, but did you apply it? No. I forget it myself as well sometimes. So it doesn't mean finding myself. But I really came to see how important it can be 5 to 15 minutes of relaxation.
Yeah.
Because now when you sit for an hour, hour and a half, this first the talking, I let them vent.
Yeah.
Or share what they have been doing with what they've learned. And then we end up having like just laying down, just in silence, not even guide the meditation. Just let them relax in their own unique way, how they feel, like sitting, laying on the side, on the back, on the belly, doesn't matter. And then of course I go by and I feel, and then sometimes I feel to tell them something, I channel or whatever comes up. I don't know if it's called channeling or not. I really don't care if it's coming from whatever is coming, it's flowing. It's something I need to say. And then I see a reaction, and sometimes something amazing comes out of that, and sometimes you just, okay, fine, perfect. But it's just to show that bringing a little bit of peace in your life can help you change your circumstances.
Yeah.
Being able to look at it from a distance. And then you can start to work on yourself, work on the anxiety that you have, or the sources of the stress, where they're coming from. I mean, there are thousands of sources. I mean, even refugees, they have more than just, oh, bad Putin attacked our country. There is so much more than that. It's not one person who, no, it's humanity together who created this shit show. From one perspective, but on the other hand, this opportunity to transform. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, some people look at COVID like, all the bad pharmaceuticals, they're trying to squeeze us and make a buck. Yeah, they earned a shitload of money. But on the other hand, a lot of relationships ended because they were not healthy anymore. But people were forced to sit with each other in the same house 24/7 for weeks, months, and they had to face each other. When normally they would run out to their jobs. So yeah, that's an opportunity. And some people actually strengthen their relationship with each other or with their kids. because they were home for the first time in a decade with their kids, and actually they got to know, oh, you're my son. Okay, this is a little bit old.
Yeah.
I actually got to know them, like,
yeah,
that is what you like. Also, this is your hobby. This is how you actually behave when you don't like something or when you do like something. So there are so many opportunities, but we need to take that step back. And then we can work on ourselves or on whatever is in front of us. Not when we emerged in the middle of it and in that turbulence and all that craziness, whatever shape or form it has. That's why I don't listen, for example, to podcasts when there is too much agitation around me. I try to find a peaceful spot, because then I'm open to actually hearing something and getting the message that I need to take out of the 1 hour that I'm listening sometimes to. There's just a few key sentences like ding, ding. Oh, yeah. But we need to find some kind of calmness in us.
Yes. Yeah.
Because, people can come to me, can come to you. And we guide them. But if they're not taking the time for themselves to let it sink in and then to integrate, preferably having a mentor that they can talk to at least once in 2 weeks. If they don't work on that, then they can pay us millions. Yes, we will be rich. But I don't think even you will feel good, because I don't feel good when my clients are not actually doing something with
with
the tools they're having in their hands.
Right.
I do get an amazing feeling. That's why you saw I was so enthusiastic talking about what I'm doing with the refugees, because I see the transformation.
Yeah. Or
I call the coordinator after the first time and I ask, like, do you have any feedback? Because nobody replied on the email. Oh, yeah. Oh, that person is smiling now. Oh, yeah, yeah. People are saying that person is smiling and that person was never smiling. Oh, I mean, I was so happy to hear that. So it's when people do these things that it really feeds us. But didn't it feed us ourselves when we work ourselves and we freed ourselves from whatever blockage?
Yeah.
But for that, we took time.
Right.
Just like if people are like, oh, this video is too long, I will not watch. We're only talking for 51 minutes now. But do you or do you not want to change? And you need to stop and look at the situation and slow down and calm. And from there, you can act. If you see the sprinter, they're not agitated and then start running to the 100 meters in whatever, 10 seconds or whatever. No. They breathe, they go down on their knees, and they stand. They wait. And then they go. They don't do it 1 second before the shot. No, or the beep. No, they take their time to actually recenter. The same for the swimmers before they jump in the water. No, they take the time to recenter. And then they go. You see it in football, that the teams sometimes come together and then they have a moment together to be with their attention fully in the here and now. Now we're going to play ball. So whatever, if my kid is vomiting at home, I'm making him mad. No, all that, no. Now I'm here. This is what I'm going to do. And then you see that there is a result, because you're fully here with your attention in what you're doing. So if you have been agitated while listening to this talk, take a peaceful moment and then listen again. You don't need to watch and look at our faces. You can do that, but you can just listen. And generally, I put also an audio version that people can download, an MP3 on the website.
Nice.
But take your time, because it's time you invest in yourself and the quality of your own life, of your well-being, and the quality of life people that you're interacting with very intensely. So maybe your partner, your kids, or your friends, your colleagues even. Yeah, I felt I had to say this.
Yeah, it's powerful. It's good.
It's what's saved me, at least. And I know you do the same. So do you have something you want to share about how you find your you're in a calmness and peace before you take a big step or you work with a client or whatever it is you're doing?
Yeah. You know, my philosophy is like, I, again, like back to the, your intention being your North Star, and that I was like so determined to get to the point where the anxiety was resolved. And yeah, so what I find is like, when it comes to like just reflecting back, like when my mind was just, you know, thinking, and like having that time and that space to like step away and really like get calm, like that's when that was like the most beneficial. But then it's like, as you start to resolve the inner stuff, that, cause like the not being able to be calm and being in stress is a symptom of unresolved deeper things, right? But once you start to really and then like once your inner world starts to shift, then it's like there's less unresolved things that are manifesting as you not being able to be calm. So then eventually you kind of default to being naturally peaceful, you know, naturally at ease. Like I really don't get stressed out ever. Like I can't remember the last time I was like stressed out. I used to, one thing I will say very recently. Yeah. Very recently. Like, cause this is the thing, is like, once you make a shift, taking a new step, taking a new action, making another shift, taking new action. So for me, like as I've been building my business, like there have been like shifts, inner shifts that I make as I move forward in my business. So for example, I used to get nervous when I would like get on a call with like a prospect to see if they wanted to work with me. Like that was like, even though I was like comfortable in myself around friends, but like there was still like insecurity there, you know, like for like little subtle insecurities of like, maybe like, I need to, you know, whatever, like perform, or I need to lead them a certain way. And it, so those little insecurities would manifest as me getting a little nervous before.
Or you need to land the deal because you need the money, which can also.
Yeah. It's like attachments and expectations and all of that kind of translate into like self-doubt. And then it leads to being a little nervous. So then as I like would take steps forward, like get on more calls, and then see, like I would learn how to navigate my inner world so that I'm not bringing that stuff to the calls. And so then it's like taking new steps, then getting on another call, and like, and more of an opportunity for me to make inner shifts. And then it's like, as those shifts are made, then now I get on calls and I'm not nervous anymore, you know? And so it's like the little things where I could be stressed here or I could be stressed there. They're just this is how I see life. Like they're just opportunities for you to make an inner shift, right? And then once you make that inner shift, the next time you're faced with a similar circumstance, you're not nervous anymore. You're not stressed anymore. So it's like you're having opportunities to look within, make an inner shift. Then you take another step forward. You have another opportunity to look within, make an inner shift. Then you take another step forward. And then eventually there's so little things that are causing you stress. Like you're still growing and evolving, but you don't stay stuck in this situation is stressful and it's always stressful. It's like, no, maybe it was stressful, but then you use it as an opportunity to make an inner shift and now it's not stressful anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, I often ask people to remember what they were stressing about when they were 16.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember standing in the metro once and see these teenagers that were so excited and stressed about something. And I looked at them like, oh yeah, I remember back then, yes, but now I'm looking up. That's nothing. I grew. I mean, I was already in my 30s when that happened. So yeah, it was 16 years later or something. So, but when I remind people of that, and they're like, oh yeah, ah, okay, yes. And then it just clicks like, yeah, I can make that step because I already did it. That also helps to build self-confidence. Like, hey, I already grew since last year. Or I mean, it's easy to start with 10 years ago or 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But then you can go closer and closer. You see like, oh, but I took again a step and again.
Yeah.
And so I also ask sometimes people to make a list of achievements. Mm-hmm. What did they achieve? What did they overcome? What did they build throughout their lives? And then they realized, like, yeah, I did that. And, oh, but before, could you do that? No. So how did you get there? And then they see how they got to be able to do those things. And that helps in building up the self-confidence in a natural way, because I'm not programming. No, you just remember what you actually did.
Yeah.
Which you were unable to do at some point, but at a certain point you could do it. And if you would ask you to do it again today, you would do it even better because you have more experience. You do it faster or in a more beautiful way.
Mm-hmm.
And combining that also with that part of peace, then it's so easy to go inward and say, okay, yeah, I can do this.
Yes.
Show me, where's the route? Let's go down the route. Let's go down the rabbit hole. We'll find that route and then we'll work on it.
Yeah.
Because we all can.
Yeah.
You only need to look back at what we already have achieved till now.
Mm-hmm.
But really achieved throughout our lives. Not only look at in this job did I achieve, or compare yourself to somebody else. Like, yeah, but he has a bigger car, bigger house, bigger salary. That's not an achievement. Maybe somebody gave it to them. Maybe they inherited it all.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do actually with your life? What did you create from scratch? Yeah. Or what did you transform?
Yes.
Or how did you help people grow or have a better life? Whatever it is, how did you contribute?
Yeah.
And then we can do the same for ourselves. Mm-hmm. To grow, to have a better life, to everything. Wow. You said 20 minutes would be perfect, but we've been talking for almost an hour.
It's been gold.
Bored, and we could continue for another hour, but I feel like it would be nicer to schedule another time, another talk where we maybe take one of the aspects and go in deeper.
Sure.
But now I feel like this is already enough for people. And if you're like, oh, yeah, but I know already this. Yeah, just let it sink in.
Yeah, exactly.
Some new things will pop up, like, oh yeah, I have an insight. And let that insight also ferment within you. Let it grow. Let it become something.
Yes.
And I would like you to just mention where people can find you, how they can find you. Of course, I will be putting links in the description. I don't know if it's all possible to put several links on Facebook, but at least on YouTube, there will be all there, like really detailed.
Yeah.
But can you share in short where people can find you, how they can find you?
Yes. So on Facebook, if you just type in Michal J Medina, MICHALL.
Like space, it's on screen now, right?
Space Medina, yeah, MEDINA. You'll find me on there. Everyone here is welcome to add me as a friend on Facebook, or if you just want to follow me. And you'll see there on my profile, I have my Facebook groups linked. So you can join the community that I've built there. And
so plural, right? So you have several groups for several.
Yes. Yes, I have a few different groups. So just look on there. There's a Conscious Community for Israel. That's a Facebook group I created. And then there's also a community for highly conscious people on resolving triggers and different things. And then there's also the group Lotfi. You were in my masterclass recently. So I made a group for the masterclass. So I probably will be changing the name of the group and kind of keep the same people in there and just create just like a different vibe now that the masterclass is over. So, and that will be specifically for people who are serving in their soul mission and are stepping into that. And so it's like a little bit more tailored to like their specific journey. So whichever one you resonate with, would love to have you in that group. And also,
by the way, before you continue, that group is still active because I saw you posted again today. And
yeah.
I'm going to have tomorrow a call with somebody from the group.
Oh, cool.
There's something to actually, I forgot now the name. I'll message you later.
Is it, it's not Brad, is it Brad?
No, Brad will be next week.
Okay.
No, it's a lady from I forgot which state, in Iowa.
Okay.
Because we both felt a connection, and so we're gonna want to dive into it and just see what is it that connects us, and if there's a cooperation we need to have, or we're gonna have a live show, or we just need to have a talk because certain information needs to be exchanged.
Yes.
I'll just see, but I love when this happens in groups. So definitely join the groups, because you'll find people who, I mean, maybe not all of them, but there are people who are really into growing and doing that through interacting with others. And that's how we learn the most, not just by sitting by ourselves and just reading books only. No, interaction with others and make that conversation, have that conversation with somebody live on Facebook. I mean, like in a one-on-one, you use the tools that you have for free.
Yeah.
To grow further, or to discover which way you can grow further.
Yeah.
So thank you for making it possible.
Yeah, I'm so happy to hear. That's really what I wanted. It's like, if everyone is in this group together, then everyone can start to connect and support each other and collaborate. So that is such good news to hear. And I definitely want to keep that going. Maybe I'll see how I can facilitate more of that, like a collaboration post or something. Yeah.
I think it was because of through a collaboration post or
like one a podcast post.
And the questions you asked, I forgot. Maybe it was either you asked a question that people started answering and then react to each other. And then there was also the podcast. Yeah, you had a question about who is organizing podcasts, and I'm sure there are people already interacting on that one as well. So you have some very nice questions that really triggered people, and would also create an opportunity for people to say, hey, let's do this. Let's step into it.
Yeah.
And I experienced this a few years back when I was in a group from Kyle Sees, and I connected in the same way with two other people, one from Seattle, one from the UK. And we're still in touch, but we spent more than one full year during the whole COVID lockdowns talking to each other every single week on Monday evening. I mean, Monday morning for one, Monday evening for the other, but it didn't matter. And that's how we got each other through difficult times, because we always had this sounding board.
Yeah.
And we were all three having our own things we were dealing with. And if somebody would feel bad on Monday, the two others would help that person to get back inside himself, and then find again, like, oh yeah, okay, my life is actually not that bad. Hey, I have at least two friends here. I mean, it can be that simple.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy you did this also in your groups, because it's crucial. Mm-hmm. It got me through some very difficult times.
Yeah.
When I really ended up being isolated with all my friends abroad and not being able to get out in the street because we had very strict lockdowns. This got me through it. And being three coaches, we could also help each other see things from a new perspective. Mm-hmm. But this can also be when you're two experts in another area that you also help each other to see through the brain fog that we have sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you have very different expertises, you also have a different perspective. So again, it's always worth talking with other people who have a similar interest or want to go a similar way.
Yeah.
Just like we're doing here now in these talks. That's why I'm having these talks, for exactly the same reasons.
Yeah.
So anywhere else where people should look? Do you have a website?
Yes. I was going to add YouTube. If you just search my name on YouTube, there's some amazing meditations there that are really going to help connect you to your heart center and bring in unconditional love and start to open your heart center. So those are super powerful. So find them on YouTube on Michal J. Medina. Yeah.
Good. Thank you. Thank you very much for your time. I know you're a busy woman. You have a lot on your plate. And you even squeezed this in today. I'm really grateful for that.
Yeah, it was good timing.
I had an amazing time. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, this was so much fun. Thank you.
I had no clue what we would be talking about. Okay, I expect that you would be sharing something about what you do, but
spontaneous.
Yeah, that's how I love it. And
for
those who didn't know, the first spontaneous conversation that I had was not planned. It was actually supposed to be for the intimate show, but we took a turn and I even forgot to press record. At a certain moment, like, I should have recorded this. but we already discussed because we just entered the whole conversation.
Yeah.
And that was my first spontaneous conversation. So for those who are watching this on the website, scroll down to the first one because it's a really funny one. And for your information, the beginning was recorded at the end.
Yeah.
Because we just started. I pressed record at a certain moment, middle of the conversation. I was like, oh, we didn't introduce ourselves, right? No, okay, let's, okay, this is the part of who are you, who am I? And we'll glue it at the beginning. But that's how it was born. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. And that's how I started having two shows.
Nice.
Just for the fun of having it.
Yeah, it's so cool that Spontaneous Conversations was born in a spontaneous way. It was born out of a spontaneous conversation.
Yes. And I still need to have that intimate show with that lady, with Ann Tucker. So I need to send her a message again. She's also very busy, but probably we're going to have it one day. I don't know when, but we'll see. So people, thank you for watching. Feel free to put questions in the comments. I promise I will be looking at them, and I'll push Michal also to have a look if there are questions that she needs to answer. Contact us directly through whatever platform you are on. Asking for help is a sign of strength, not of weakness.
Yeah, that's
smart
huge.
Smart people who ask.
Yeah.
So if you ask for help, you're courageous, you're strong, and you're smart. If you're dumb, you don't ask. So you ask, right?
You can reframe.
So thank you, everyone. Thank you, Michal. And
thank
see you,
lovely.
Guys in the next show. Like, subscribe, and share.